Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's program. Again, if you have a problem situation that you would like to get some help on, get some biblical counsel, we invite you to call right now. If there's a problem passage, you're not quite sure as the meaning, you're kind of confused as to what a particular passage is trying to teach, we would love to help you with that as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher, sitting here with Richard Piper today, and we're glad that you are joining with us on this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, Richard, one of the questions that we get quite a bit is this: can we outsin the grace of God? Is there a line that we can cross that is beyond the reach of God's grace and forgiveness? And there's a marvelous passage in the book of Romans that gives a resounding no to both of those questions, to both of those scenarios. And it's this, Romans 5, starting in verse 18. Actually, the whole chapter, yes. 5, is just amazing. Some of the most succinct statements about the gospel, 5:10, for example, that says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." That's a pretty clear indication of God's grace toward us. Mm-hmm. While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? So we see in that statement that God is for us, that he has done everything needed to be done in Jesus to bring us back to himself. Mm-hmm. So what that's saying is that there is no sin that can keep God from reaching out to us. He's already done so in Jesus. Now, going down to verse 18, we read this: therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so that was the trespass of Adam. And so Adam, when he gave birth to Seth and to all future generations, he passed on that spiritual DNA. Yes. We were born into this world as Adam became after his sin. So we came into this world dead spiritually. We were under the condemnation of this simple statement, this simple judgment: the wages of sin is death. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. So Adam sinned. Jesus made an act of righteousness, and that act of righteousness covers all people. And so all people have the ability to be saved. Why? Because Christ has made that possible.
Yes.
Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So sin can increase, it can continue to grow and intensify and increase in number, but the bigger it gets, the bigger the grace of God gets. It abounds. It just overwhelms the sin of man. That's yes. What the grace of God does. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this passage gives a resounding no to that question: can I outsin the grace of God? No, you can't. Where your sin increases, God's grace increases all the more. Now, many of the critics, the skeptics of grace, will say, so what are you saying? What are you teaching? That we should go on sinning so that grace may continue to abound? And Paul says, heavens, no. I mean, yeah. he that's exactly how he starts chapter 6 mm-hmm. with that very question. No, he's just simply making a statement that you think your sin is so big, but you haven't seen the grace of God. Not only did the grace of God take away your sins, however many those sins were, but the grace of God took away the sins of the entire world. Jesus' blood was for not only you, but for the entire world. So no, you cannot outsin the grace of God. Lots of people have tried, but they can't do it. God's grace is always going to be proven to be bigger. We need to rest in that. And so if grace is bigger than our sins, then we can trust the grace of God in our lives to completely free us from our sins and enable us to walk in the newness of life.
Yeah.
So that's good news. That's why this gospel is so powerful. It frees us from our sins and then empowers us to walk in this newness of life.
Yeah, I'll never forget when this passage finally dawned on me and I realized there's only one question. Am I in Adam or am I in Christ? That the rest of it doesn't matter.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And everybody born into this world comes into this world in Adam. Adam was our family head. Now, we need to figure out a way to get out of that family and into Jesus's family. Mm-hmm. That happens through new birth. That happens through regeneration. That happens through the gospel message doing what only the gospel message can do in our hearts and lives.
Yeah.
And once that transaction is complete, it's an eternal transaction. I am forever alive in Christ. I am forever a new creation. I'm never going to improve on that. Nothing is going to be different about me tomorrow as what is true about me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be a child of God. I'm always going to have the Spirit of God living in me. I'm always going to be righteous. I'm always going to be a forgiven person. That's what happened to me at salvation. And that continues. We just simply have the opportunity to grow in that grace and see that grace empower us to walk in this newness of life that is ours in Christ Jesus. So can you outsend the grace of God? Paul gives a resounding no to that question. Well, let's talk about it more on Basic Gospel today. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. Call right now if you have a question about the grace of God, about guilt and shame in your own life, about any situation. We would love to point you into the Word of God and to give you hope in Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful offer. Today is the final day of that particular offer. My book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the publisher, Harvest House Publishers, agreed to reduce the price on the Kindle version and all electronic versions from retail of $13.99 down to 99 cents. So you save $13. That's your lucky 13. You can put that in your pocket. But 99 cents, my goodness, that's less than a cup of coffee. That's less than a cup of water at Starbucks, I'm here to tell you.
Yes.
So if you haven't yet ordered your copy, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace icon, and that will take you to Amazon, and you can order your copy. If you're interested in sharing the good news with friends, with neighbors, with fellow workers, here's a great opportunity to buy more than one copy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually have Amazon send a gift copy to someone that you are trying to reach. You'll just put their email in, and once you make the purchase, then Amazon will deliver one to their email inbox. So it's a great way to share the good news with others. So Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on sale, the Kindle version, the electronic version, right now for 99 cents. So don't miss this special offer. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Call right now with your questions. We had a great question from a YouTube listener yesterday. We didn't get a chance to answer it on yesterday's broadcast, so let's answer it first thing today.
Okay, Jim sent this in through YouTube. Bob, what about people that do not have the Spirit? Could you elaborate on how God views them? I mean, this used to be me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We have lots of labels that we put on people, and we see people through these different labels. You know, you go and you apply for a job, or you fill out, your paperwork at a medical office, and there's lots of information you have to give about yourself. You know, are you this ethnicity or that ethnicity? Do you have this or that? And so there's lots and lots of labels. And so we as human beings, we divide people on numerous characteristics. But God only sees two types of people. He sees those that are lost, and he sees those that are saved. Yeah. So anyone who comes into this world and is yet to receive Jesus Christ, they're lost. They're sinners by nature. They are dead spiritually. Now, what does God think about them? That's how he sees them. He sees them as lost. He sees their real spiritual condition. He sees their real problem. Now, that doesn't determine what he thinks about that particular person. The gospel message determines that. And we can see that while we were yet sinners, God reconciled us unto himself by the death of his Son. So what do we know about how God thinks about all people? Well, he so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life. Yes. So God sees us for who we are. He looks at the real you. And if you have yet to come to Jesus Christ, you have yet to hear the good news of Jesus and respond to that grace through faith, you're a sinner, dead spiritually. But that doesn't mean you're going to stay in that condition. Mm-hmm. We pray that God will bring someone into your life, maybe through this radio broadcast right now, and that you hear about Jesus, the one that God sent into this world on your behalf, the one who took upon himself your sins and died in your place, the one who was buried to put an end to that old way of life, the one who was raised back to life on the third day so that you too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. If you have never received him, today is the day. Yeah. Today, if you hear this gospel message, today, if you hear this good news, is your day of salvation. Respond. Open that heart of yours. Open the door to that heart of yours and receive Jesus. And when you receive him, you will be made alive, and God will see you as a saint, no longer a sinner, but a saint, a child of God, a blessed son of the beloved. So what do you want to be? A sinner, lost, dead spiritually, or a saint? If you're a sinner, just open your heart. Jesus came to save you, just like he came to save me. I was a sinner. Jesus came to save me. And when he saved me, he made me alive together with Christ, and he gave me a brand new identity, and he himself came to live inside of me. So that's how God sees us, and God's heart is for everyone. He desires that none perish, but all come to repentance, come to that point of faith in Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, we recognize that Jesus is Lord. We confess that with our mouths. Why? Because we've believed in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. And when all that lines up, then we're saved and have everlasting life. It's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And there's so much hope in it. We don't have to be afraid. God loves us so much that he was willing to risk everything for just one of us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, Jim, thank you so much for that question. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Way, listening to us in Dallas, Texas, on The Word. Hi, Way.
Hey, sir. I can't believe I got a chance. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I have a question about unclean food and pork. So me and my spouse, we have see it differently. What he mentioned is that, again, we don't eat things when you don't have faith in it. So anyway, he used to eat pork, and then suddenly he said, we should not be eating pork because in the Bible. So he said when God said you don't eat this thing, and later on in the New Testament he said you can eat it. It means that it's actually you can eat everything else excluding that. That's how he defined it. It's like it's all things except that list.
Well, wait,
go ahead.
No, you finish your question there.
That's all. And I point many scripture and say how, you know, Paul have a dream, or, you know, all things come meal and we pray and sanctify the food and it's good to go. And he's like, so there's two part of question. What is the mean all? And then the second part is that do God ask the group of people not eat it because of the obedience reason? Just like we ask our kid don't do something. Is it for obedience reason, practice, or is it because of a health reason, or just because he's God?
Well, I think back in the Old Testament, and that prohibition to not eat pork or shellfish, or, you know, there's a whole long list of things that he had and told the people of Israel not to eat. I think that was for their well-being, for their health. I mean, they're going across a desert. They're going to enter into a promised land. And so he wanted to protect them. I mean, they didn't have the convenience of refrigeration or all the things that we have today. So a big part of it was for their health. And that's just a God who cares, a God who loves his people back in that day. But it was also part of an old covenant. So God had separated his people out of Egyptian bondage, and he wanted them to be distinct. He wanted them to be different than all the other nations that surrounded them. And so he made them distinct at every single point, their religious practices, their dietary programs, all of Israeli life, of Jewish life, was distinguished by this old covenant. But we don't live in that old covenant today, Way. We live in a new covenant. So when Jesus died on the cross, he put an end to that old. Why did he do that? Because he fulfilled it. He fulfilled all the types and shadows of that old covenant, that old Mosaic covenant. It was time stamped from the time of Mount Sinai until Mount Calvary. And once Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he ushered in a new covenant. And it's in that new covenant that we live today. So, Way, you and I are new covenant believers. And in this new covenant, there are no prohibitions as far as food is concerned. We see time and time again, and you quoted a number of those passages, that, that indeed everything is clean in God's sight. So if we choose not to eat something, it's because we're making that choice for some reason or another. But it's not going to increase your spiritual status. It's not going to move you up the ladder of holiness or anything like that. You're holy because the Holy One lives in you. You're clean because the blood of Jesus cleansed you. You're sanctified because Jesus washed you with pure water and with his blood. We're clean because of the work of Jesus.
Then how do you balance how do you balance the fact that some people will say, okay, I pray already and I sanctify the food, so now I can eat all the bad food. Then how do you not so good. How do you balance? Do you have faith that God actually cleaned all those unclean? No, I'm not talking about unclean now. I'm talking about like junk food. They say, well, it's God. So how do you balance that, your faith as well as what you're supposed to eat with your wisdom?
Well, wait, I think that gets down to, you know, we have some personal freedoms. And we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the mind of Christ. And we should be able to approach just any matter in life with his wisdom, his discernment. And, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure all of that out. But we need to take it out of a legalistic mindset.
Yes.
You know, if I eat this, Is something bad going to happen to me? Is God going to bring judgment on me? Am I going to be marked out as an unholy person? And that's answered in the cross. Jesus made us holy through his shed blood on the cross. So now we have the freedom to look at all the various issues with life and just apply the wisdom of God and also apply the love of God. Oftentimes we can be stumbling blocks, and we don't want to be stumbling blocks, so we indeed depend upon the love of God to make some of the decisions. You know, we don't want to go to somebody that's says, hey, it's wrong for me to eat pork and just chew on some bacon or whatever it might be. That's not very loving. So we want love and wisdom to be the constraining, compelling forces in our decision making.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Way. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Bye.
Great call. And
yes.
And a lot of us have questions like that, but they're all answered by the grace of God. They're all answered by the love of God. They're all answered in the context of the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just walk in the Spirit and have some discernment there, I think we're gonna make some good decisions as far as our relationships one to another.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it certainly doesn't do any good for us to berate someone or be disappointed with them because they eat something or don't eat something.
Right.
The way Paul puts it in Romans 14, he says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean.
Yes.
So just back off. Don't use our freedom to destroy one of God's children.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. So, well, we've got a couple of callers on the line. Let's go talk with Mark.
Hi, this is Mark. I was reading that Genesis. Something really stuck out to me this time that didn't stick out before. After the flood, Noah plants the first vineyard. He gets drunk. Well, Ham finds him, goes and tells his brothers, and his brothers walk backwards with a cloak and cover him up. But when Noah wakes up, he is very upset at Ham, and he curses Canaan, Ham's son. So I'm wondering, I don't understand. It just goes on with the story after that. I'm wondering what's significant. I haven't got a clue, so hopefully y'all can help me out with that. Thanks.
Well, Mark, thanks for that question. I don't think a lot of people have a clue as far as this particular passage is concerned. I mean, yeah. There have been just volumes and volumes and volumes written to try to explain exactly what was going on here. I think verse 24 is one of the keys to understanding this. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him. So there was something more that probably happened inside that tent than simply Ham seeing his father naked. Mm-hmm. We see in Leviticus that really is a euphemism for sexual intimacy. So this could have been incest. Who knows what actually went on in that tent? The text doesn't really give us doesn't give us that information. But it does say that Noah knew something happened to him. And when he realized what had happened to him, he cursed Canaan, who was the youngest son of Ham. Now, why? We don't know. The text doesn't answer that either. But we know it was a just cursing, I assume. And we see that Canaan became the servant of the other two, their households. And that was the curse. And I think we just need to leave it right mm-hmm. there. A lot of people have tried to expand that out and to do just some horrendous things to human life as far as dividing us.
Yes.
But I don't think we need to do that at all and just say, just leave it with what the text says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, Richard, thanks for a great broadcast today. This one flew by, folks. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley will be here. Richard Pfeiffer will be here as well. And we invite you to join them at 844-322-2742 with your questions. Well, now for Richard and the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Dallas, Texas.